So, greetings one and all. So, when we look at the dynamics of the meditation process, what are we trying to achieve with the practice that we're trying to develop on a regular or irregular basis? And the whole process of meditation is an aspect of coming to know and understand yourself, because if you really understood yourself very, very well, the kind of worldly attachments and interests that you experience would be very, very faint, and very, very easy to let go with, even temporarily. And because when you look at the whole experience of the Four Noble Truths, that any kind of sort of irritation, disturbance in the mind is going to disturb that underlying peace that you have naturally within you. So, even though you may argue the point, but all of you guys are potentially very, very peaceful, but you just can't stop thinking and feeling about all sorts of different things. And if you're able to shut that down, you'll just go into very, very profound meditation in a very short space of time. So essentially, your personal experience, your personality, is exactly that which is stopping you from, deep tranquility and from laying all one's difficulties, burdens, obstacles in one's life to rest. Just because we can't stop thinking about stuff, and it's our feelings, our emotions, which are the energy which drive one's thought processes. And so, over time, if you're able to become emotionally cool and more detached, and emotionally stable over time. Now you can have a slightly different slant on this kind of experience, but it's a state of emotional coolness, non-attachment, to quite a reasonable degree. It's only because we're attached to things that we just can't get any real sort of peace of mind at all. So, it's not just a matter of training oneself in attention, it's a matter of training oneself in coming to an understanding of the dynamics of the personality, the way the personality works, the way you tick, and the ability to at least let go of that to a small or a medium degree. So the whole sort of name of the whole name of the game, so to speak, is just this ability to let go of stuff, all the stuff that we're attached to, which in reality is the only real obstacle. We're attached to our senses, our five senses, which are housed in this physical body of ours. So we tend to proliferate about all the stuff which comes in through the ear, eyes, nose, tongue, through the body experience. And so gradually over time, you're able to calm all that down. So, because that will be the test of anyone who's got incredible meditation, is just see how attached they are, because there's a direct connection, between those two. So, so as we develop the practice, and we go through different thoughts and feelings and mind states, what are we supposed to do? For example, we have feelings of, could be irritation, annoyance, possessiveness, all this kind of thing. And how do we essentially relinquish or sort of lay these experiences down, especially when they're quite personal and they're very sort of very deeply felt within one's experience? You identify and you cling to this stuff. You think this is you, and naturally you put a lot of importance and value on your personality makeup and your experiences, because, you know, without your sense of personality, you may feel that you don't really count. You're a nobody. You're a person of no real substance, like an empty shell. But you know, a person can have a fairly cool personality, an emotionally cool personality, but they can still function very, very well. They can still interrelate with other people. They can still care. They can still have a sense of joy and happiness in one's life, and the tendency is for that to increase over time. So you know, you can get the full expression of the personality that you see, like externally, but inside, the person is very, very light, very free. You know, very there's not like very like strong, really strong feelings of love, hate, you know, possessiveness, you know. Clinging, you know, it's very, very light and cool, but you still see, you know, externally, you can't see inside the person, but externally, you know, the person's like very carefree, very, very open, very, you know, very expressive, but, you know, there's like an emptiness principle inside them that the people around them can't see. So when we look at that, so how do we come to a comprehension of these things that we go to, and how do we, you know, make an effort to relinquish them? So the easiest way to understand anything is to go to the Four Noble Truths, which is the core principle of the Buddha's teaching. You know, if you really want to understand anything, almost anything, you go to the Four Noble Truths, and you will see a connection there, because the Four Noble Truths are basically, say, like the hub, the nucleus of which all the other teachings, the thousands and thousands of teachings that the Buddha discoursed in the suttas, they're connected to, and they circle around the primary principle, you know. Because, so for example, you know, no matter what emotional experience, the people you're connected with, it could be absolutely anything on any level, cultural, psychological, sociology, science, whatever aspect, you know, you're looking at within the mind body experience. You know, if you look at whatever disturbs the mind, whatever shakes the mind up, makes the mind tremble, whatever is, you know, brings about that sense of, say, unease or disturbance, and even the most incredible happiness that you could ever have as a human being, you know, you compare that against someone who has very, very, you know, who, say, has the jhanas, meditations, has very profound meditation, you know, the most incredible worldly experiences you have are just, say, like suffering by comparison. And as you move through the jhana states, you know, people who have mastery with these levels of samadhi will tell you, as you move from the first to second, the second to third, third to fourth, you know, you're relinquishing like a refined sense of suffering or disturbance as you move through these very, very refined states of mind. So, but on the worldly level, so, you know, whatever, an easy way to understand it is to look at one's personal experience, what we cling to, and that will be something which will be a source of, say, maybe unease or disturbance within the mind. So if we, you know, whatever you go through, you know, you contemplate, you know, like, it could be any kind of, it could be even intellectual pursuits that people could be interested in like historical studies and this and that, but if you compare the most profound book or research article you've ever read in your life, and then you compare that to the deepest level of meditation that you've ever experienced as a human being, you know, you'll find that, you know, that intellectual pursuit or discovery or interest just doesn't compare You know, it's all about like just letting go, this relinquishing to deeper, deeper states of tranquility and understanding. So what we'll do with this particular session, we'll do a composition of a hard cookie and a soft cookie practice, because I want you to actually see this way, this particular approach works. Like I do a lot of perception of so changeability or impermanence, you know, on many things throughout the day, you know, for hours on end, and I find it very, very effective. And when you do the body-based practices in a very, very light way, you just choose one part of the body. It can be, say, like teeth or head hair. It could be the skeleton is very, very good because it covers the whole body from top to toe. And you know, if you want to get peaceful, really, really quick, very, very short time frame. You know, I mean, for myself, it works very well. I mean, for people who are very engaged in the world, have a lot to deal with, might take a little bit longer, but the principles still cut the ice. It still works very, very well once you get it rolling. So what we'll do is I want each one of you to, I think we'll go straight to the skeleton. That works very, very well. And because most of you will be able to, you'll get a picture of the skeleton. As you do this little mantra, a skeleton will eventually come up over time. We'll just do it for 5 minutes, and then we'll do the soft and fluffy practice. We'll do things like changeability of natural phenomena. Could be anything. Could be flowers, trees. Could be chemistry, biology. Could be quantum physics. Whatever you're into. And the reason I put emphasis on the changeability principle is it really helps you to let go and to get the mind calm in a very short space of time. So with the beginning instruction. So if just get yourself in a comfortable position. It's good to have your legs, sometimes your ankles crossed, your hands together in your lap, because you're drawing energy inwards towards the center of the body and drawing energy inwards into the mind with the meditation. And make sure your back is nice and straight, your head is upright and comfortable, nothing tight around the throat, around the tummy, the wrists, and what we'll do, I want you, this might be slightly, a little bit, most of you have been practicing for some time, so it should be well within your capability. We're going to do this mantra. I might make it overly complicated. I want you to focus. We're going to do Anapanasati, the breathing meditation, but we're going to do this mantra at the same time, in a very, very spacious way. So as you breathe out, I want you to I want you to focus on the feelings around the mouth. We use a fairly sharp focus, so focus on the feelings around the mouth as we do the breathing meditation. So breathing in, breathing out, focusing right there around the mouth section, which you can feel very, you know, quite distinctly. It's very, very sharp, very clear. And then as you breathe out, we're going to do this for 5 minutes minimum. Breathing out, skeleton. And then breathing in, breathing out is changeable. Breathing in, breathing out is skeleton. Breathing in, breathing out is changeable. So you do it with big spaces between the words, and you can adjust it any way that you like, whatever way you feel comfortable with. But this will get you calmer faster than anything else that I know of. You know, I know lots of little tricks and methods. And so we'll do this for 5 minutes minimum, and then we will choose something in the natural world for the rest of the session. So just close your eyes and repeat that the skeleton mantra just quietly to oneself as one breathes out, in and out, focusing on the mouth section for the next 5 minutes. keep focusing with the breath meditation, and we'll just change the mantra. So we'll maintain the breathing meditation as it is, and so we'll use a more sort of soft and fluffy mantra, which can be still quite effective over time when you do this for hours and hours on end. So I want you to choose, you can either be, say, feelings or emotions. So either feelings or emotions are changeable. So as you're breathing out with the breath meditation, say emotions, and then breathing in, breathing out are changeable. Breathing in, breathing out, emotions. Breathing in, breathing out are changeable. So just change the mantra over, maintain the breathing meditation for the rest of the session. So as the meditation progresses, just try to relax physically and emotionally as much as possible. So people who have trouble following the breathing meditation at this point, you can breathe a bit more deeply, a bit more forcibly, to increase the sense of the sensations, and plus also increases the alertness for people who feel a little bit tired or sleepy. So if you find that you still can't get peaceful whatsoever, try to understand the thinking process, the emotional thinking process that is coming up in the mind. And so try to understand, you know, the things that you think about and why and where and for what reason or purpose, you know, who it's connected with and why, the surrounding circumstances, because the more you understand those things which come up in the mind, emotionally charged, say mind states, that, you know, once you start to go into these things and understand the dynamics, the mind increases in understanding and relaxes and lets go, at least to a small degree. So we're coming towards the end of the meditation, so just reflect back, see if you can see any change in the peacefulness of the mind. I'll ring the gong 3 times, you can open your eyes when you're ready. So I got one question from Brisbane, Queensland. While meditating, I see colours and get heat coming up through my hands. What is this called? It should be ignored, like thoughts. Thank you. So naturally, you know, people can have all sorts of weird and wonderful experiences coming up with the meditation practice. So when you see colours, you know, you can get sort of changes in mental energy and sensory awareness, which can occur with the meditation. And people, especially maybe even the first 5 years, people can get really unusual experiences at least. And the heat can possibly come from, you know, as you develop your meditation and your chi starts to flow more intensely, and the circulation is improves over time. It tends to increase the heat in the body, you know, core temperature, and especially the hands and feet, you know, can feel warm because the energy circulation in the body can increase when you sit, or even, you know, especially when you sit, sometimes when you walk. And but with this business with colours, though, when you get real stability with the meditation, I mean, people can have these kind of interesting sensory experiences, but when you get real stability, say with the colour, you know, the lights, the brightness of the light, you know, usually it usually goes for most people with deep samadhi, it's usually like a pure white light. That's the way the mind expresses itself in deep samadhi. But sometimes, you know, you can get differences in colour. It can be like really bright blue or possibly even yellow. It depends on your makeup. But when the mind becomes, say, you know, starts to become unified, that, you know, the light, realistically, it should be like a pure white light, which is the way the mind is identified in that kind of like unification of mind. And a question from Germany: how do you meditate and find peace if the body is constantly shaken by pain, dizziness and nausea, draining mind and body from energies and causing anxiety and turmoil in the mind? So how do you meditate and find peace if the body is constantly shaken by pain, dizziness and nausea? So what I would do if I was in this person's shoes, I'd probably use a much more sort of broader based, say, technique. If you don't have walking meditation might be difficult, but if you're trying to sit and the mind and body is getting disturbed by all these things, I would tend... There's a couple of things you can do. You can use a very, very broad focus, which is much easier for you to follow. So, you know, you can still get pain, dizziness, nausea, but you can still be aware of the meditation object if it's very broad. If you try to go sharp, you know, if you're in pain and you try to go sharp, it's very, very difficult to focus. You know, the mind is constantly being disturbed. And you can do things like, say, for example, with pain. You know, it is possible to use pain as a meditation object. You know, dizziness might be, and nausea would definitely be much more difficult to work with. You can do things like, you know, you can lay down on the ground. You can lay on your side. You can lay on your back. You can sit maybe in a nice like a reclining, like a large reclining chair, and you know, try to adjust the focus so you're able to sustain it if you can. And sometimes it's good, you know, with these kind of say bodily disturbances, try to get an understanding of where they're coming from. You know, you person may have a very genuine reason why they've got these physical symptoms. They, you know, they could have cancer, they could have digestive ailments, you know, could have all sorts of things. But if you're able to say, for example, if I was really dizzy, you know, I mean, I'd just focus on that dizziness. Just sit, just get yourself in a comfortable situation, you know, if you're sitting or whatever, just lying on the floor, and just really very gently, lightly, just focus on that dizziness and try to understand exactly what that is, you know, where it's coming from and why, how it's affecting the body. Because with physical symptoms, you know, in the body, that if you have absolutely no idea where it's coming from, you know, it can tend to persist. You know, if you use the power of your mind, generate insight into physical symptoms which come up. You know, you could be on certain drugs. You could have cancer, advanced cancer, with secondaries. You're on chemo, and you've got, you know, you get this. You know, you could easily get dizziness and nausea. Many people do. Sometimes you could get pain. You know, if you've got incredible cancer, you could have bone cancer. You know, your joints are constantly, you know, sore. You know. Every time you move. So I tend to investigate, you know, there are limitations with this kind of thing, but, you know, you can investigate dizziness and nausea, you can investigate pain in the body and just watch how the mind responds. So, you know, if your mind has a better understanding of what is actually happening to you, you know, it is possible to heal oneself to a degree, depending on the severity of the condition. You know, maybe somebody's in a very, very serious condition, but you look at the effects. You know, you do it for say 5 minutes. You know, you look, watch what happens after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just gently trying to understand this thing. You know, and when there's breaks, when you feel a bit more comfortable, you know, focus on the full chest, where you can feel all the feelings. You know, between the throat and the belly button. You know, you can focus on that large area. And even with these physical symptoms, and if the symptoms get too heavy, then you focus on the symptoms, get some samadhi, and then go to vipassana, try to understand what's happening there. Because, you know, otherwise sometimes these things may not subside that quickly. You know, people, you know, even the example in Thailand, Burma, Sri Lanka, you know, monks can... I've had the ability to break fevers and to break, you know, like really severe migraine headaches just with this gentle focusing investigation. And then it is possible to unlock the karmic energies which possibly may be behind certain conditions, because if you've just got no idea what's going on, what's happening to you, that ignorance will be a source of that complaint and that condition just going on and on and on and on in this life, and potentially into future lives. You know, if you've got some heavy karma, and you've got some major physiological, or even could be anything, biochemical or neurological disorder, if you don't gain an understanding of that just through the power of ignorance, that's just going to continue on and on and on and on, 10, 20, 30 years, even into your next life, until the karma is actually worked through your body and mind. But you can accelerate that process through the power of vipassana. You know, you can unlock things and release them through the power of vipassana. But you know, you put it to the test. Draining mind and body, and from energies and causing anxiety and turmoil in the mind. So do it on both sides, physical symptoms and the anxiety, the turmoil, you know. I mean, why am I reacting like this? Why do I feel this way? You know, how are the symptoms affecting me? You know, you may think it's completely obvious stuff, but when you actually investigate and then you see the change, you see an alleviation. As soon as you see that, then you know you're onto something. You know, it's actually working for you to a degree. You know, it's all very nice to get peaceful, but if you know you've got to keep your wisdom faculty at the same level, because problems, difficulties, and past karma can just go on and on and on. It can follow you for lifetimes. So, are there any other questions at all from the group?
Hi. I was interested. I was going to ask you the same question a little bit. I get a lot of back pain, and then when I can find the pain, it just become intense that I then start focusing on it quite a lot. But that's not all the time. Sometimes I can have a good meditation, and I've had other experiences where sometimes I actually feel like I can't feel my body as well, and then I become aware of that, and it slightly frightens me afterwards, because I feel that I'm going to end up again maybe in pain afterwards, because I'll feel my blood flowing through me, a bit like when you get pins and needles. So that, yeah, but like you say, the karma is very interesting to focus on that and what that might be about to be aware of. Yeah, I was wondering how monks, I'm sure you don't have ailments like maybe we do with our backs as we get older and whatnot, or you've worked through all that. I was wondering how you managed to kind of sit for long periods of time as well, but I'm sure you've worked through this for many years.
Yeah, whatever works for you, you know. So as you try to understand the mind-body experience, and then just see how the mind responds. I mean, there might, you know, if people have got real damage, genuine back pain, there might be a workable limit, and you just find what works for you. Whether it could be massage, it could be certain yoga, stretching. There could be certain things which may take the edge off the pain.
I do actually have some deformity in my back, but I'm keen on meditation, so I just have to keep working through the process.
I knew a lady when I was at the Cambodian table. She's a temple. She specializes in this technique by this Russian researcher, and you're using the power of the mind to heal your physical body. And she's a very, very smart lady, and she was really, really taking with this technique, and she's spent thousands of dollars on courses. She's got a lot of confidence in this, and even things like using when people are missing teeth, using the power of your mind to actually affect the physical body and actually grow new teeth or open new neurological pathways. I don't know much about this kind of thing at all, but she was really, really taken with it. So there must be something to it. And she was talking about she's assisted people in the past, and she's healed people. People have had conditions for several years, or five, say up to 5 years plus, and she was able to heal these people in like 5 to 10 minutes, and she wouldn't lie to my face about this kind of stuff. So this, it's a, you could dial it up on the internet. It's this Russian researcher, I can't recall his name, but he uses the power of the mind, specific visualizations, focusing exercises, to use the full power of the mind to heal the physical body. It has to come up. The Russian. He doesn't speak. I don't think he speaks English, but I could easily, if you're interested, I could chase up the name. I got the lady's phone number. Are there any other questions at all? Okay, we'll finish it up and call it an afternoon. Thank you kindly.